Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply and even excited about today's program, and I want to thank you for being with me. We're going to look at what to do with life, and I have some interesting questions from young people. I had no idea that anybody young was bothering to listen to this old goat, but I'm wrong, and I am very grateful for that. We're going to be looking at what to do with life, and I want to thank my sponsors before we begin, as I always do. I am tremendously grateful for the kindness of their support, their graciousness, their trust in what I'm trying to do here, and they work with me. They are a part of this radio program, every one of them. Whether they listen or not, it doesn't matter. They are a part of this, and they flow out into the world with their kindness, their generosity, and make all of this possible. And I want to thank them. And I hope that some of you listening to my voice this morning will join them and become sponsors as well. It is only through your tax-deductible gift that we are allowed to continue to make these programs. And it is only in your heart that you know whether or not you're getting anything out of this. You have to dig into your authentic heart to really hear these radio programs. They're not always easy to hear. They don't follow the status quo. And I'm very grateful that I have the chance to share with you them. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, which I hope you are, in order to help us, it would certainly help me. Please come to our website at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G, and you will see support there on the main page. You will also see why support Aspire if you click on that, and it will tell you all about what it means to support Aspire, how your gift is used, and the importance of the program and everything that we do. We're showing I Gotcha Now, a series that I did in the 80s. It's a little Zen humor and maybe something that will make you smile. I hope you're watching those programs. They're very important. They're very, very important. And it doesn't matter how many years ago I made them. The work is the work is the work is the work, and it is significant. Life. Life, life, life. I have to tell you, I am extremely, I was extremely taken back, shocked, as it were, by the fact that these young people listen to the radio program. Who'd have thought? It certainly wouldn't have been me. I figured they're playing on their video games and smoking pot, but I'm wrong. They're actually listening, not maybe curbing their porno stuff, but wow, this is really interesting. So here we are. Let's get into the questions and see what's going on. The first question comes from Terry. He lives in California, he says. He says, I listen to you almost every day. My parents loved your TV program and they still watch. I'm grateful, boy. Generations of people now. It's so interesting. He said, I am 18 and I don't know what to do with my life. I do have a job, but I still don't know what to do with my life. Can you help, Terry? Well, it is interesting. I don't know if I can help, Terry. I hope so. I'll give you the major thing you must accomplish if you are going to be happy, and this is really, really important. You must find something in your life, something that you really love. You must find this with all of your heart, with all of your soul. You must find whatever it is that you love. And this is the difficulty. I'll tell you right off the bat, Terry, because the love you feel right now is chemical. It's in your brain. It's in your body. And so it is emotional, definitely emotional. And because it's emotional and it's a chemistry in your body, it is going to change. your neurons are firing off much different now than they will in your 30s and 40s. And you're going to find that the things you love now at 18 are not necessarily going to be the things you love at 30. And there'll be a different kind of feeling about it. You might be disappointed. You might be whatever with whatever you choose to do or whatever you choose to love. So this is the difficulty that people have. They start off maybe with a love. They'll say, I love doing this, I love doing that. And they'll say, I want to do this and I want to do that, whatever it is. And then they get involved in it and they find out that it doesn't support their emotionality the way they hoped it would. Then they find out, well, maybe I don't love this as much as I thought I loved it, but I've made a commitment, let's say in college or in school in some way, maybe a training school, and I have to keep going because everybody's paid for this and I've made a commitment and I got to do it. And then you get into whatever job it is and you're not happy with it. It's not what you really want to do. So then you've got that to deal with. All of these things make it very difficult for us to do with our life what we want to do, because the hormones are changing, the testosterone in you is going to change, your brain chemistry is going to change. What do you do? See, it is really hard to teach children when they're young how to know themselves. It needs to be done. But right now at 18, you have a little window left where you can figure out who you are and then what you are, and then the way of you will be revealed. You'll suddenly start to realize, well, I want to be this. I want to work on that. I think this is important. And then you have to go within yourself. Honestly, you do, Terry, and you've got to sit and understand who you are, what you are, really, more importantly than who you are. The who is always changing one way or another. Little nuances here, little nuances there. But if you can come to the place where you realize, not figure out, you awaken and self-realize what you are. What is it you are? Beyond your genetics, beyond your gender, beyond your heritage, your biological heritage, your race, your color, your creed, all that. You, who, what am I? Now, if you can do that, which you can, then something of the truth will start to emerge from you. And you will start to realize that maybe you have many talents. Maybe you can do many things. Mainly do something in the beginning of your life and then morph into something else. Let it be an evolution. You can do all of that if you know what you are and you haven't come to conclusions about who you think you are. If you do that, you'll know. You'll know. Most people go into careers or jobs that they are not thrilled with. At first, it's what they think they want to do, and then it changes. And then there comes a point when they have to do it because they got to pay their taxes. You got to have a house or a rent, and you got to buy food and blah, blah, blah. And all of this goes on and on and on. You don't know how to earn a living. It is extremely difficult to know how to earn a living when you don't know, A, who you are, and that morphs into what you are. It is very, very difficult. So I would recommend you, wherever you are in California, you find some help. You might find some kind of guidance counselor, or you might want to go to a counselor, or you might want to start meditating and taking a look at your life, opening up your mind to all sorts of things. Look in the mirror. Do this. You can do this little exercise. Gaze at yourself in a mirror. Just let go of your mind, let go of your body, let go of everything. Don't think of yourself as Terry. You're not a Terry. You're not him at all. What you are is what you see in the mirror past your skin. Try to move past the skin, past the attitudes, past the beliefs, past all of the memories of yourself, what you were told you were or are, and just sit with it. Sit with it. Don't want anything. Just sit with it and gaze at the form you see in the mirror. Now, if you do this, you might get some inklings of not, first of all, what you are, and then gaze a little deeper, and you'll find out that there is a hidden beauty in you, a hidden love in you, something that your mind could not see because it's attached to your emotions and passions and reason and logic. So you go a little deeper, you go a little deeper, and bingo, there it is. You get it. It will take practice. You have to stay on it. I'm talking to the wind. But that's how you do it. And I hope you're able to do it. And I hope that you do it. And I hope that it serves you well. And, oh, Terry, this is a very important time in your life. I cannot stress this enough to you. It is a very important time. Do not waste your time on the analytics of your thoughts. Don't do that. Live in your heart. Watch. Be observant, non-judgmentally, non-critically. It will help you immensely. Terry, I hope I helped. And please forgive me. Namaste. You know, these questions just are amazing. I'm moved by them. And as I look at young people today and all that's cast on them and all that's being done to them, it amazes me that they're going to find a place in this world. At least I hope they do. Next one comes from Gary, and he asks, this email that he sent went on and on and on about the Eightfold Path that I did on TV. You can see it on the website. He watched it on the website. He said, "What is the difference, Greg, between life and the world?" I did a talk on that in the series on the Eightfold Path. What is the difference between life and the world? It's a very good question, and I did answer it in the series, Gary, but I'll do it again just to hopefully help you. In this world, there are many trials and tribulations. This world that we have, the world that we have created out of society and what we call our psychology, we have created a society through our psychology, and it's got a pecking order, and it's got all sorts of rights and wrongs and goods and bads, so we can live with one another. It's what's necessary. It is a part of living on this planet, and it is deeply, deeply necessary. So you have all of this going on. You've got society, and then you've got a little culture in there, what each little tribe has as their means of meaning and their culture of how they get things done. And these tribes build and build and build till they make a society. And then before you know it, you've made the world. And everybody has a world within their own head. The world of what they believe, the world of what they want, the world of how they think things will turn out. Usually it has a lot to do with fantasy. How they think their beautiful life is going to turn out in this existence. So they look at everything from the point of view of society, the culture of that society, and then the mores of that society, whatever it is. And this goes on and on and on within all of us. We see this going on in every aspect of our life. There are certain cultures, there are certain tribes, there are certain everything. That is the world. And it can be very harsh. It can be very ugly. It can be very mean-spirited. It can be a lot of different things, nothing of the spiritual. And a lot of people can live their whole life in and of the world. But life, that is something different. When you back off from the world, when you no longer are infatuated with the world and what it's all about and the tribes and the societies that we form, you start to realize that something's going on within you. That which is going on within you is life. Jesus said, live in the world, but don't let the world live in you. Buddha talked about the path, and so did Jesus, by the way. They both talk about the straight and the narrow, the path of the straight and the narrow. And it is a narrow thing, it is direct. What most people do is take side paths, and they don't really understand that this whole thing is about love. Now, that is the major emphasis here. In life, you see the results of how people treated love. Their ignorance about it, not their consciousness about it. Love takes consciousness. You can't know love through your body. You can't know authentic love. You can't know love through your brain. Authentic love. You can only know philosophy. You can only know belief. But to really know love, to really understand the state of love within you, you have to be conscious. This conscious is different than anything you would ever effort towards in and of the world. To be conscious, to be truly conscious, requires meditation. It requires a non-judgmental attitude. It requires no idea of good or bad or right and wrong. It has nothing to do with what you can grasp intellectually or morally. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the state of your heart, your authentic heart. Because in life, it's survival. Not through hate and fear, like we would like to believe. It is more than even survival. I wouldn't probably use that word. In life, it's love. In the world, it's hate and fear. It's survival, raw survival. So you have the world where you have to survive in it, and then you have life that is the love of your life. And it is very difficult for people to put the two together. And yet we live in a world and we have a life. So if you have life within you, a sense of love, which life is all about, and you live in the world with a body and a brain and circumstance and condition, and you are able to see the two, how they work, and infuse love in your worldly life at all times, you have achieved a great deal. You have become a Buddha. You have become the Christ. You have done something magnificent. And you can do this. The likelihood of it isn't very high because most people are looking for gratification mostly. The grandiose way of living. They want to be popular. They want to have accolades. They live for these things. And so when we do, we miss. All of us miss. It is best to enter into this world in a very humble way, through the life that is humble. Find your life, not the world. Find how to live through and in your life rather than survive the world with all of its complications. If you do that, if you can do that, Gary, much will happen. A lot of beautiful things can happen. Great question. And I deeply appreciate your interest, and thank you for your kind comments about the TV programs, and please forgive me. Namaste. He asked why I always say please forgive me and namaste at the end, and I had to explain. The last question comes from Ron. He does not tell me where he lives nor how old he is. My parents did not live a good life at all, and I don't want to follow what they've done. Is there any way I can remove myself from their lives and have my own, Ron? Ron, it's going to be a tough pull. I guarantee you it's your body belongs to your mother and your father and society. It belongs to the earth. Your heart, if you follow your body and you live from the love that your body can provide, again, it belongs to your mother and father and the earth. And the relationship you're probably going to have with yourself will be based on the relationship your mother and father had with each other. All of this keeps going and going and going and going. And trust me, it is difficult to separate it. But when you have forgiven your father and mother for whatever, and they need forgiving, and I'm not going to sit here and rationalize and say, well, they did the best they could. And blah, blah, blah. They didn't do the best they could. They did what they could, not the best. They didn't. I guarantee you that. And you say, how do you know? And I'll say this, because you're asking this question. You wouldn't be asking this question if they had done their very best. But their very best was not available to them because they didn't know they had a very best. And even if they did, it would have taken so much effort to achieve love that it, to them, genetically speaking, it would have looked like betrayal of their genetics. So I could go on and on about that one, but I won't. But that is something for you to understand. If your parents did not have a good life, as you say, and you don't want to be like them, then you must do things they didn't do, they wouldn't think of doing. Meditating. Becoming interested in what is going on within you. Really becoming interested in what's going on within you. Starting to understand the nature of your life beyond the concepts of what they taught you or the concepts of what you believe in. The key to understanding all of this is, and here is the real mischief maker in us, your beliefs and what you think of as right and wrong, good and bad. This is the killer. And if you're the type of person that lives in that kind of format, where you live in the moral precepts of beliefs that are basically about superstition and all that other stuff, like there's a God in the sky that will punish you if you don't do what's right. There's a devil under the ground that will burn you to hell, blah, blah, blah. All these beliefs and mottos that people have, if you live by those things, they gotcha. Ooh, you ought to see the series, I gotcha. But when you're willing to step back from all of this and not go into any of this, then you have something quite unique. If you can find your authenticity, your origins, where you came from within yourself, beyond your parents and the body and the culture and the beliefs of your family, the society that you even live in. Goodness. So here's the deal, and I'm going to give it to you real quick. Have mercy and live off the goodness that follows your mercy. That's a very important thing that your parents will not have taught you. I guarantee it. Find mercy within you and have mercy on me, and please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.